That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey, bitch, what is your whole deal? Hey, bitch, just tell us how you feel. You wished for a sign from above. Well, here's a podcast about boy sex, fucking, dating, and love. Seek treatment if you're boring as fuck. Seek treatment if you're unlucky in love.
With Kat
and Pat.
Hey, it's Kat
and Pat,
and this is Seek Treatment, a podcast about boys, sex, fucking, dating, and love.
We're live in the studio.
We're live in the studio
with Lacey Mosley. Put your ears open. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for being, for having me.
Oh, of course we're going to be
here.
For
being here.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
She really does both. B's here and has you.
Lacey's here to interview us. Ask your questions.
Think. How are you?
I am here.
You do have a radio show.
I do a podcast.
Podcast. Okay. Because it's on Sirius.
Yeah. So technically, I guess, on the radio.
Is it every day?
What time?
Oh, I don't know if it's on the radio for real.
It's so confusing with if Sirius is on the radio.
No,
for real.
I go to Sirius, but I don't know if they put it on the radio. No, but it's definitely like a podcast for sure.
Final answer.
And make sure to check it out. It's out there. Wherever you find it, that's where it is.
The podcast is out there. This is my X-Files advertisement for Scam Goddess.
I'm obsessed with you because you're such a real girl and that I came across you in a green room in New York.
Yes.
I had receipts to show and I needed to get things off my chest, and you sat and you listened and you gave so much wonderful advice.
That was such a fun time. You don't even understand. Because I was telling you before we started the podcast that I forget that until I go to New York again that I have theater kid energy.
Yeah.
And then I get around a bunch of morose stand-ups and they're all so cool and they're just like quiet and chill and like doing their thing. And then like I'm like, hey, what's up, guys? Hey. And they're looking at me like, oh, you're weird. You're such a poser. I'm like, bitch, fuck you.
Literally.
I'm in LA. I'm on TV, whore. Like, you wish.
I'm on TV, come whore.
I love
that. I'll take my little Instagram stories. I'll give a fuck.
That's why I don't connect with stand-ups either. That's why they hate me and want me dead.
I like stand-ups.
I do stand-up.
Right.
Same. I'm like, hey, guys.
You're both stand-ups and here you are connecting.
Yeah, for once.
I think that I always like, whenever I say yes to a show, the day comes to do the show and I'm like, oh my God, what have I done to myself?
Mm-hmm.
But then I will say, like, in a green room, a certain social energy happens that's like so special on a lineup show.
Yeah.
Even though that wasn't a lineup show, but it was like Alex's show was like,
when
I love
was
Alex.
This?
I love Alex so much. This
He's
was for
so
New York Comedy Festival.
Funny.
But it's like, I was going to Chelsea Music Hall alone, morose.
And that's in a basement, and we have to remember that.
Yeah, yes. but
to get there, it is so confusing. And then someone leads you, like, into a corridor.
But you know what I'll say? Do you know the phenomenon of when a venue loves you for no reason?
Yeah,
yes.
I do.
Chelsea Music Hall loves me.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that for you.
That's what I was telling you. I was like, I love when a hotel knows about me, but it hasn't happened in a while. So if you're a hotel, reach out.
Do you know what story I always think about?
What?
I don't think she'd mind me sharing, but remember we were in a Miami hotel with Michelle Collins,
sure.
And she loved the robes there.
Oh, yeah.
And so she went up to the desk woman, and she said, like, I'm sorry, I love your robes. How much to buy one? And the woman said, oh, they're not for sale. And Michelle said, okay, well, I'm going to take the robe. How much money would you like me to pay you?
So good.
Well, I'm having it.
Yeah.
So.
Wait, how long have you been in L.A.?
I've been here for 7 years now,
wow.
I think.
Wow. And how long were you in New York before that?
I think I was there for a strong, like, like almost 2 years.
Okay.
Which mm-hmm. they say, I don't know who the they is, mm-hmm. but they say it takes like 2 years to know if you're a New Yorker.
People are always like making rules about like being and a New Yorker. Like people are always deciding like different timelines for identifying as a New Yorker.
Well, I've been there 10 years and I still Google Maps everything everywhere I go. So I don't know.
Maybe yeah. it's just something you need so that you can believe enough to leave there it's, because yes. it worked for me because
yes.
I got really aggro.
You prefer it here.
Oh, hell yeah. Like, it was too cold for too long. I was like, bitch, it's April. Why am I still wearing a North Face?
Yeah.
Like, I remember being on the train because I worked at this place called Karma Lounge, which is where I first got into stand-up because
oh, yeah.
I would, like, bartend, like, they would have random nights. So it would be like the Jamaican party night or it would be like the foot fetish night. I would get great tips on that night. Like the ladies of the feet would tip really well and the foot lovers as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would totally let people worship my feet.
Wait,
I'm
so
ready.
I have a question about night. Yeah. Foot fetish night. Is it so women come to expose their feet and feet lovers come to watch? Or is it,
well, so it was
not
like,
as gendered as that?
We would have like a basement and they would set up these like partitions. So if you were really, like, trying to have the executive, and mind yeah. you, this is one of those places where when you lift your foot, like, there's sound. Like,
I've been to an open mic there for sure.
Yeah, they do stand up there, yeah. too, on different nights.
Where is it?
East Village, right?
Yeah, East Village on First Avenue. I think it closed now. It definitely closed now.
Wait, so what happens if people put a foot fetish?
So it's like the ladies of the feet come.
The ladies of the feet.
How do you become a lady of the foot?
I don't know. I guess you just want to get your toes out there, you know?
Is it kind of like they...
Stage mom for feet?
They know... Is it like they're an organization or it's just people who find... Like they walk by and they say, oh, they're having a foot night. Maybe I would... That's something I'd be interested in trying.
I'm sure it was a Craigslist ass.
I kind of want to do it.
Also works. Ad at the time.
So they sit there barefoot and then what happens?
Well, so they come out and... Like, some of them would be in the open spaces, just kind of show and toe.
Yeah.
And you could do that if you weren't really, like, trying to spend a bunch of money. Maybe you wanted to grab a few drinks, steal a little toe in the open. But if you really wanted to spend that money and go, to the champagne toe room, then you could go behind the partition. And I don't know what they did back there, but...
Foot stuff is so interesting to me because it's not my journey at all. Lately, I've been almost insecure about my feet because I've been... a bit on Grindr.
Sure.
And like there's a person on my grid called Global Foot Jock. So I'm assuming he's really into feet. And in one of my Grindr pictures, like I'm actually like, I don't even know if I would want to hook up with this person. Like I don't know their pictures or anything. But like, yeah, you know, you see Global Foot Jock, you're kind of like, well, what do they think of my feet?
Sure.
And there's one of my pictures you can see my feet. Mm-hmm. So I kind of sent him that picture to see what he would say. And the picture isn't about the feet, but there are the feet in it. No response. I'm like, you're a Global Foot Jock. You're seeing my feet. You're not responding. What's wrong with my feet?
Can I ask you if this is like Grindr in LA?
This is Grindr in LA.
I might know this person. I'll talk to you after the show.
Really?
Global Foot Jock is a friend.
I'm not even kidding. I might know this person.
You might know Global Foot Jock.
Yeah. So Global Foot Jock is a friend.
Well, ask them what's wrong. Well, my worst fear is like accidentally sending pictures to someone on Grindr who like knows me because I don't want. I will never, like, if anyone on Grindr.
That's definitely going to happen.
If anyone on Grindr.
You're a public facing face.
If anyone on Grindr even acknowledges ever even knowing the podcast, I block them immediately.
Hmm.
Oh, then you're gonna have to get off Grindr.
I don't need to be on Grindr. It's like it's an addiction at this point. Like it's no good for me.
Yeah. I think I have beautiful feet and I'd love to show them off.
Yeah. Feet is one of those things even in porn when they start getting into the feet, I click forward a few frames.
One time Brian, like my boyfriend, like popped one of my toes in his mouth and I was like,
tickles.
Don't need that.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that's very nice of him.
Totally.
I
love that he was just like, I want all of you, even like your feet.
In the toe, yeah.
And I was kind of like, did you like that? He was like, eh. I was like, he's like, did you? I was like, eh. There's a lot of stuff we try where we're like, are you into that? It's kind of like, could take it or leave it.
But that's so important to be trying.
It is. He's spicy, for sure.
Lacey, are you single or partnered?
I'm very single. I've been single for a long time.
Mm. Let's get into it.
What?
Are you looking for love or are you over it?
I think I was over it for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Why were you over it?
I mean, I've been single for like a decade.
Wow.
You feel SGBT.
Straight, gay, bi, pan.
Oh, definitely pan.
Oh, you are pan. Oh, you are pan.
Yeah.
new segment. Oh, you are pan.
And then she says, no, why are you saying that? Or, yeah.
Patricia Pan.
Oh, you are pan.
Patricia Pan.
I've been labeled as bi for a really long time, and I just let people go with it. Like, once they Photoshop you next to RuPaul, you're just like, well, yes. You know? Like, what are you
going
to do?
What was I going to say? Wait, so you've been single for a decade. Was it because you got burned in love?
No, it was because I didn't really have, like, a true interest in it. So there would be, like, situationships, but I was fine with those just because I like wasn't really focused on that a lot. I recently had a reading that was funny because she was like, one of the cards was like this old lady and she had really long gray hair. And I was like, who is that bitch?
Yeah.
And my tarot card reader is a black woman. And funny enough, a writer and a like accomplished writer.
Oh my, really?
She just does this shit on the side. But she was like reading my shit for the year. And it was like really positive and really great. She was like, you're going to turn everything around this year where you're not trying to like build yourself up to show people your worth. Instead, you're going to turn it around and start looking for what people have to offer you. There's a lot of like feminine cards in here that are like, people need to be bringing stuff to you. Yeah. And like when you're dating, you should be like almost auditioning them. Like, what do you have to bring to the table instead of like what you have to offer for people to take away from you? Which I was like, I think that's why I don't really like love. Cause I'm like, you want me to bring up like Whoopi Goldberg had a quote where they were like, Whoopi, when are you going to find love? Or when are you going to date? And she was like, I don't want somebody living in my house. And I was like, bitch.
I feel like we're in a moment of like very famous older women, like again, like Evan Ross Katz post of like a 54-year-old celebrity woman saying like, I don't want someone lying next to me in bed. I'll be single forever. And then every gay person shares it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's happened a couple times lately.
I saw that post. I connect with it.
What was I going to say? I need to pull that card. That's such a good way to look at.
Well, the lonely old lady card was actually just like, you don't have like a past love and a past life. And she was like, it's not bad. It's not bad. Yeah. It's just like, you've never really been focused on like love. She was like, does that resonate with you? And I was like, yes. I was like, I always felt like a weirdo because people are like, oh, I want love. And like everything I've always wanted in my life, I've always managed to achieve.
Okay, let's
and
go.
And so if I really wanted love, I feel like I would, like, have that by now. But now I kind of feel like I'm like, I could love somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know if I need them sleeping in my bed or sharing my closet or not like that.
Yeah. It is annoying.
I need to have my things.
It's so tricky because I think you do get, I think, sucked into sometimes this thing of, like, seeking approval or something.
Oh, for me, it's all about just being like, am I disgusting?
Yeah.
I'll prove that I'm not by forcing someone to have sex with me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, check.
It's hard to keep
So you're like confident, you don't need that, is what you're saying.
It's hard to keep your wits about you.
The wits have not been about us lately. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but then also I think it's tricky because when you have like the kind of lighter situation, I've realized like I'm not good at that either. Like the whole like, oh, we're having a fling. Cause then I'm like, well, why don't you love me?
I know.
If I try to have the fling and I'm like, okay, bye. Then that person is like working to try to get my affection only because they're mad that I'm like, well, this is what we agreed to, bitch.
I know.
Okay, get out. Or I'm like, okay, I'm leaving. Well, and then they're like, why don't you love me? And then I'm like, okay, I could try to love your ass a little bit. And then they're like, ah, I got you, bitch. I don't love you. And I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. I think a fling sometimes almost takes more communication because you have to both be on the same page that it's a fling. Do you know what I mean?
Flings with cisgendered men, it's never that. They don't ever want a fling. They want you to want them and then they want to throw you away.
Yeah,
I can't do that shit with
they
them.
They do, don't they?
They want, yeah. Wait, so on this pod, we like to ask just one question, which is who were you? Who are you? And who do you want to be?
Who is young Lacey?
That's three questions.
Wait, what?
Oh my God, we shut down the whole podcast.
Wait, let's stop recording. Don't worry.
That's gonna mess with our taxes. Oh my God, I have to respond to your lady.
That's okay.
What was he gonna say? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Frisco, Texas.
Oh my God. Oh. You know, I'm a Texas girl.
Ooh, where are
I'm
Texas?
From Houston.
Okay. It's always
Where's Frisco.
Houston is the fun girlies.
It really is fun.
Frisco is north of Dallas.
Okay, yeah. I just did shows in Fort Worth.
Oh, okay.
Which was actually cute. It was actually cute.
Yeah.
Texas is
it's
so
cute up
big.
There. We're kind of dry, though. That's like where you raise the family.
Yeah,
Diamonds
there's not
in
a
Dallas,
lot going on.
But it's kind of dry.
Really good. I had some really good barbecue, though.
Are you only chai?
No.
How
I'm
many?
The oldest. But I have two younger sisters and a younger brother. But we don't all live together. Like, I lived with my youngest sister, but then my older brother, or no, my middle brother and my middle sister live with my biological father.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Are you tight with him still?
Yeah.
Cool. And what was high school like? Did you have boyfriends or in high school? Or girlfriends even? As
no. I wasn't allowed to do much in high school. So, like, if I wanted to go anywhere, it had to be, like, a school activity. So,
wow. Your parents were super strict.
Yeah. So, I was class president.
Activity.
I was student
oh, wow.
council
oh,
president.
Oh, my God.
I was in theater. I ran track. I was a cheerleader.
You were a gifted child.
What
distances? I wanted to get out of the fucking house.
What events?
What events in what?
In track. You know I'm a big track
4x1, 4x2, cool. 100 meter hurdles until my mom made me stop that because she was like, you just get injured in that.
Yeah, and like, yeah. You had to be so flexible.
Did you have a slogan for winning class pres?
I probably did, but I can't remember what it was.
Oh, let's make one right now. Lacey is good because I feel like there's so much that could rhyme with it.
Lacey.
Don't be
the placey.
Don't be
to be.
Don't
the placey is with this? Lacey. First placey with Lacey.
How about this? Don't be crazy, vote for Lacey.
That's really good.
Though it's ableist because crazy is ableist.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah,
I was pissed. Thank you for saying that.
Your slogan's ableist, Lacey.
But the first high school I went to where no one liked me, I ran for treasurer like the first day when no one knew who I was, and I said I'm going with Cohen, and I made a sign, and I lost, and I was like.
I ran for commissioner of school spirit in sixth grade.
And you deserve that.
I made it to the general election because, like...
Commissioner of schools? Why is one so serious? School spirit is so fun.
There was no... Like, there was four. There was, like, president, vice president, secretary, and commissioner of school spirit. But they all had the same exact responsibilities, which was in the beginning of a play, of a school play, they brought out the American flag. And that was their only responsibility. But I, like... you had to, like... There was always like a candidate from sixth grade, seventh grade, and eighth grade, and in sixth grade, so you had to make it past your grade to get to the general election. Mm-hmm. And I made it past sixth grade by being really funny at recess one day of my life. Like it was crazy.
Huge.
Like it happened on the perfect day. All of a sudden, I was being so funny at recess, and then literally that was the day we were voting. And that recess of being funny like got me into the general, and then I lost to a girl called Melissa Sclafani.
Shout out.
And then me and my brother, who's 1 year older than me, used to like. Physically fight in our room, mm-hmm. just like fight as hard as we could against each other. And we were fighting, and sometimes it would get too real, like someone would hurt someone too bad, and then all of a sudden it was like kind of a real fight. And I remember it was like one of those moments, and I had lost to Melissa Lafani, but someone had told me it was close. And then, and Melissa Lafani was in Terrence's, my brother's grade. And Terrence, like, I remember he had me like pinned down, and we were both like so like angry. You just like start hating each other. And he was like, it wasn't close, but Melissa Lafani.
No! That is a low blow.
That's so sad. Terrence, what do you have to say for yourself?
Yeah, what do you have to say for saying that to me? A queer child.
Wow. Bullying. Okay, so then you were a theater kid. What shows?
Ooh.
Tell me everything.
Let's see. A lot of Molière.
Oh, wow.
I don't know any plays.
Highbrow.
Huh?
I don't know any plays.
Oh, so like, gosh, I can't remember which Molière plays, but like a lot of Molière.
I wouldn't know them anyways.
There wasn't a lot of diversity. Shocker. So like, I remember we did this one play, Remember My Name. This will probably get me canceled, but like I was the closest thing to Jewish. So Kat. I think it was a bootleg on an Anne Frank play.
Oh my god!
I played Rochelle.
And that was your short term.
Oh, it was our competition play, and that's how I know like all the like Baruchata.
No,
I was little Rochelle hitting in the basement.
That is amazing.
Okay, so
in Nazi Germany.
Ableist slogan, and I'm taking roles from Jewish actresses.
And stealing all the roles from the Jewish community.
Did you win the competition?
Just being the worst. I don't think we advanced that year, but the one year that I remember.
Wait, they were plays?
Tartuffe, which is Molière.
It was plays, but they were competitions?
Sometimes they were competition like one that. Acts.
Oh.
What was it called? It was called like...
It was like UIL one act plays.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I didn't go to that, but I remember.
Yeah.
It,
And I remember all of our like lead roles would always go to this girl named Alex Gustafson. Oh. And she was my theater teacher's favorite. I would never get a lead. Never get a lead.
Yeah.
Me and my friend Kirsten never get a lead. But I was always getting supporting roles.
Yeah.
And then we did Blythe Spirit. And so the lead in that is technically not Madame Arcadi, right? But I got Madame Arcadi. And we went to competition. And normally, if you win best actress in your, like, heat group or whatever, you advance to state. So that year, I won best actress. And so we were so excited because we're like, oh, my God, we're going to advance. Like, we went to adjudication. We're all just sitting there, like, buzzing because, like, that's normally what happens. In adjudication, this, and he had to have been one of the girls. He read us for filth, and I'll never forget it because I could never get a lead from this theater teacher ever. And I felt like so bad about my performances always. I'll never forget what he said because sometimes like when I would have really shitty auditions and stuff, I would remember this. He was like, It was like you guys had a quarterback with a rocket for an arm and nobody could catch.
But don't you love that, though? But don't you love that?
Gagged.
But isn't that like you being like, oh, my God, guys, like, that's not true. Like, I would love that.
It was a very awkward bus ride home where we, like, thought we were going to succeed and go to state.
Who said that he's a judge?
Yeah. Who gave us our adjudication.
So then you didn't get to go to the States because everyone else was bad? Yeah. But I don't know.
What was your theater teacher's name?
I'm not going to say that.
I know. Believe it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always like, I have such a weird, I similarly like I resented my teacher so much because I would never get to lead parts either. And I was like, you just wait. And that's why we're here instead.
She was nice to me. It's just that like she had a favorite and I was never going
to
be that.
What happened to the lead, the girl?
I mean, I don't think she's an actor.
WISN. Where is she now?
WISN.
Was she one of the people that was like in it but bad and he was like kind of reading?
No, she was just a really nice kid. She would help out a lot and with the theater teacher. And I think
me
that's,
being such a bitch about her, I'm like, and what favorite? Was her fucking deal? Like, she was really sweet, actually.
No, she was lovely.
Okay, shout
my
out.
My theater teacher was like a 90s TV character and that he was like truly gay but married to a woman.
Oh, yes.
And I it's mean, like your 90s TV. If you're a theater teacher who's gay but married to a woman in
with
a
like
Catholic
four
school,
kids.
You are truly a 90s TV character.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of those are listening tonight.
Totally.
Tonight on a live podcast show.
Okay. So, and when was your first relationship?
Oh, this is kind of, oh God, is everything in my life weird?
No.
No,
I think it's so normal so far.
Everything's so normal. So
no, so my first like relationship was like a
And I want listeners to know she just did air quotes.
And if you're not watching the video, tune in on YouTube
so you can see what's getting air quoted and what is actually not.
It was a courtship.
A courtship?
Yeah.
That sounds
so
very like proprietous.
My parents were like, you haven't like gone on any dates and you're 16 and I graduated when I was 17. So they were like, you need to like know how to like go on dates and know how to be treated like a lady. So they found this guy from my mom's
job.
Will you date our daughter? Has great.
Yes. That's the Jennifer Lawrence movie. What was that called? No,
we'll go behind. Yeah. We'll go behind partition.
Or cook's champagne. Like not even the good shit. Yeah. So I went on dates with this guy.
What? Wait. First of all, were you raised religious?
Yes, but my parents aren't super religious.
Okay, so
but,
yeah. They were strict, but it wasn't like
yeah, but
it wasn't
like
purity ring.
No skirts, no dancing, footloose. Yeah, yeah. No,
was it you? Was
How
it?
Old was this guy you were going on dates with? You're like 36.
He was 45, but he was a young 45.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a young soul.
Yeah, he was one of my mom's coworkers.
Oh my
down
god,
down at the mill. No,
wait, can I ask you this? Only answer if you feel safe.
What?
How old are you now? Only answer if you feel safe.
How old am I now?
Yeah.
I'm in my early 30s.
Okay, cool. I'm in my mid.
Okay. I'm early too.
I'm actually technically in my late.
You're not late.
I'm technically in my late. I'm 35 plus.
No, you're not. You're 35.
I was 35 on October 31st and now I'm 35
okay,
plus.
Okay, enough. did you kiss this guy on the date?
Not on the first date.
Okay.
No. But so he was like my mom's friend's son.
Perfect.
You.
Or like coworker's son. And he would take me on dates.
Was he cute?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he would take me on dates and he would like open all the doors and walk on the outside of the sidewalk and like pull out all my chairs and pay for everything. And the whole point was just like, so I knew how to be treated like a lady.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then he became my boyfriend. And like, I didn't really like understand that, like, because I was a year above him even though we were the same age. So then like when it was time for me to go off to college, I didn't like my dad had to explain this to me because I would be like, oh my gosh, it's gonna be crazy when I go off to college and we break up, like, who are you gonna take to prom? She better be cute, like, blah, blah, blah. I would say stuff like this, but I wasn't trying to be mean.
Yeah.
And I remember like he ended up breaking up with me.
Are you serious?
And I was like, oh my God, like, why did he break up with me early? I thought we were going to break up in the summer, like, when I went to college. Like, we talked about this. And my dad was like, you were torturing that boy.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you talking about? And my dad was like, you were literally telling him, like, who is he going to take to prom? She better be cute. Like, he probably thought you guys were going to stay together when you went to college. And I was like, well, that would be ridiculous.
It would be ridiculous.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
But he was,
I'm
like, fully
to
in
Pittsburgh.
Love.
Like, what would we do?
You went to college in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Where?
I went to Pitt.
Cool.
You know, yeah. I just did a show in Pittsburgh. It was so fun.
I love Pittsburgh.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
What was it called?
It's like not a city, but kind of a city.
That's how I think of it.
Yeah.
I got a haircut there for some reason.
Why would you do that?
It was so weird. I haven't got my haircut in like 2.5 years, and I had a full day, and I was like, me on Google Maps, haircut. And then I just went.
That's classic.
They did an okay job. I don't know.
Remember when we were in Denver, I was going to the gym, but I didn't bring enough shorts. So I go like, surely there's an athletic store nearby in Denver. I'm like walking around Denver, 5,000 feet of altitude, huffing. Cannot find any place that sells like mesh athletic shorts. Literally, I went to 9 different places. The only place I found was like a sports memorabilia store where I paid $90 for Denver Nuggets mesh shorts.
No, you didn't.
Yes, remember I showed you.
Why did they have to be mesh so bad?
Well, they just need to be something I could work out in.
Sure.
They didn't have like a sports and outdoors.
But it was crazy.
Academy, sports and outdoors.
Right stuff. The right price. Academy.
Is that a worldwide chain or it's a Texas thing?
I don't know.
It must be.
Do you know
I remember being so jealous because this girl I went to school with was in an Academy commercial. And I was like, Mom and Dad, please let me be an actor, child actress. And they were like, no.
And wait, did you guys have Models?
No.
No.
Oh, we have Models. And it was
Gaia.
I've
on
heard
Avenue.
Of them. Yeah.
Sure.
There is one on 6th Avenue.
Academy was like such a rush.
I remember thinking that like being in a commercial was like the pinnacle of acting. I begged my parents to be an actor too.
And they said no.
I wanted to be an actor when I was 5.
But did you tell them what that judge said? How you're the only person with an ounce of talent in your whole cast?
What?
Did you tell them what that judge said? That you're the only
person? Well, my parents always let me take acting classes outside of school as long as my grades were good. Because when I told them when I was 5 I wanted to be an actor, my mom got me headshots. And then she sat me down and she was like, I just don't think this is like a good thing for kids to do. And like, I don't want to be like us living in my car trying to get you gigs or whatever.
Well, yeah. And I was like, okay. Me and Lacey are going to California. The rest of the family staying here. We're going to live in a little like complex for like stage moms and their daughters.
And
we're going to join Abby Lee Miller Dance Company. Separate from nothing. This is just completely
nothing. We sometimes like casting couch porn.
I pretend if I'm watching casting couch porn, I pretend that I always pretend I'm the bottom and I'm like pretending that like I'm in college and straight, but I'm hot. And so I think I could be an actor. And some guy who's local is like, I can get you and stuff, come and like we'll make a tape. And then he like starts fucking me. And I'm like, oh,
that's hot.
And I'm loving it. I'm like, oh, fuck, I must be gay.
Yeah, I really want, I want to fuck an old man. Also.
Literally every porn I watch, I create my own narrative. It always ends up with me being like, oh, fuck, I guess I'm gay. That should be the title of my book. Oh, fuck, I guess I'm gay.
Oh, fuck, I guess I'm gay.
The one porn I'll always remember is one that I had to track down based off of the meme that turned into a joke that people just say all the time.
Which one is that?
You know the one joke that you'll see on Twitter a lot that was like, in front of my salad?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That comes from a porn.
Interesting.
Wow, the more you know.
Yeah. And so it's like these two people are like fucking and there's just like a woman in the corner who's like, in front of my salad? And I was like, why do they even have this joke in here? But this is amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's really special when porn transcends into culture.
I love when there's like a joke and I'm like, we're all on these websites. Like, we are all here.
I always remember, you know, for a long time on the podcast, I talked about what was at the time my favorite porn. It's not my favorite porn anymore. It's called Massage Beef, and the premise of Massage Beef is that it opens on, I've said the plot of this porn so many times in this podcast, but never in a studio. It opens on like this really hot psychiatrist who's talking to camera, and he's actually not part of the scene, but it's like a framing device, and he says like, and the psychiatrist has men come into him who are struggling with things, and he kind of has to figure out what's going on. And this man came in, and he could tell that the guy was gay, but he wasn't accepting it and was manifesting in like pain. So he sends him to a masseuse.
The body keeps the score.
But the masseuse, like, is working with the
booty keeps the score.
The booty keeps the score.
But the masseuse in the piece is actually working with the psychiatrist to fuck the people he sends him to prove to them that they're gay. And so it's really hot. And, like,
somehow it feels like I'm hearing this for the first time.
There's just so much plot to
Need plot. And if there's not enough plot, I'm writing my own plot.
I crave plot.
And so, but one time, and I've talked about it on the podcast, and then one time I went to Massage Beef. And I, you know how there's like comments? Mm-hmm. I read the comments, and someone's comment was like, "Seek treatment brought me here."
I love reading the porn comments lately.
Doing the Lord's work.
Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I watched a porn this morning, can you believe?
Oh, wow.
Can you believe?
I can't believe.
And it was, you know, okay, the premise was this girl's like trying on lingerie in her room, and like her guy roommate is like secretly watching in the closet.
Uh-huh.
And then he comes out, she's like, oh my God, you perv, you were watching me. I'm like, okay, hot.
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, you know, the only reason why I'm doing this is because I have a date tonight and I want to get laid, but you're right here.
Yeah.
And he's like, whoa, yeah. What? And then...
There's
okay.
This porn that I'm like...
I didn't even get to the sex part. Just like, as soon as it starts, I'm like, that's crazy!
The worst is when there's a porn where it's like, everything's just right, but one thing is ruining it.
Uh-huh.
Because it's like, you always go back to that porn because like, maybe this time, like, no, that's taking me out of it. There's this one porn where it's like, this guy's waiting for another guy to show up at his motel. They're both really hot. The guy shows up. They start, like, fucking. But another piece of the porn is that there's a guy, like, literally in the crawl space of the walls watching them. So every time it's getting good, we cut to the guy in the crawl space, like, watching. I'm like, I don't care about this character. Like, I don't care about this character.
We don't need the guy in the crawl space.
Wait, we will be linking in the episode notes.
Yeah. I think that one's called No Tell Motel.
No Tell Motel.
Yeah. But I will say, back in the day, Sex Court would have, like...
Wait, what's Sex Court?
Sex Court used to be on Skinamax, and so it wasn't really porn. It was softcore, but they would always have someone that would be like the judge, and they'd be like, I need to see you in my chambers. And then the lawyer would go into the chambers, and they start doing it. And then for some reason, the stenographer would walk over to the chambers, and then she would see them like through the window.
Yeah, like,
and then she'd just start diddling or skittles, and she'd never go in. But I would like when they cut back to her, because she'd still be like, yeah, this is working for me.
Yeah.
And, like, I didn't mind that. But I feel like a guy in a wall.
Yeah, it's like let me be the guy in the wall.
I don't want to see.
Like, I want to be the guy in the wall
that
watching.
That role's taken. That role's been cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need to see you.
Oh my God. Okay, so you're in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
What do you study in college?
I have a marketing degree and I have a performance degree.
Wow.
So were you like, I'm going to be an actress. You can't stop me, mom.
Yeah, but then I still was like, I'll get a marketing degree.
To make you happy.
Yeah, to make my parents happy.
If it makes you happy, then I'll get a marketing degree.
It didn't work out for me.
I used to love that song when I was little.
Yeah, it's a great song. You can love it now when you're big.
I loved My Hands by Jewel.
Not that it matters.
Too much.
So wait, what did
you say? I loved My Hands by Jewel.
I loved My Hands by Jewel.
These hands are swollen.
Yeah, okay. I have a core memory connected to that song.
What's
yours?
But
do you have a memory?
Yes.
Okay, what's your memory?
Mine is that when I was a kid, my mom thought I was so weird because every Christmas, like, I would be like 6 years old and be like, Mom, before I open my presents, I don't know, like, what? Because, like, we would donate gifts and, like, go buy them at Walmart or wherever and donate them and wrap them and stuff.
Yes.
And then before I would open my gifts, I was like, Mom, can you play this song? And she would play My Hands by Jewel.
Kids are so funny and weird.
Wait, what?
No need to worry, because brother is wasted.
Oh, my God.
That would get me in the spirit.
You're setting the soundtrack.
And I would literally, like, just, like, morosely open my presents to My Hands by Jewel.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
Kids, I was like, what is wrong with
that's you? A perfect core memory.
That makes me want to have kids. I'm like, I want my kid to do something so crazy like
kids
that.
Kids are always doing the weirdest shit. That's
that
what I love.
Is, kids do say the darndest thing.
Yeah, they say do and listen to the darndest things while they're opening, while they're wrapping presents.
You needing the drama of just like the ribbon and like.
I was just so appreciative of my blessings.
Yeah, I can't even tell my core memory because it pales in comparison.
No.
You're here.
What? We need to hear it.
My core memory is that like my cousin was having her birthday party at the public pool.
Bluebirds?
No, Sarah.
Sure.
And so that cousin family, it's like two girls and a boy. And then my family was like,
Pat, can I pause you?
Yeah.
Can you describe the public pool?
It's the only public pool I know. So like I can't compare it to anything, but it just was like a normal pool, and then there were like picnic tables over. So like, if you did have a summer birthday, like you might have a birthday.
But is
it
like one of those where it's like kind of like long and deep?
Long and deep, and actually kind of scary in its own weird way.
Okay.
And like, I learned how to swim underwater, but because like my swimming teacher like forgot about me and I had to swim underwater to survive. But so my cousin was having her birthday party there. It was actually like, looking back, I'm filled with fear because like it was really big and like the diving boards are so high and they're so like stiff.
When you're little, they're so high. It's outrageous. Yeah.
And but like, you know, like, and then like after people swam, there was like picnic tables where you would like sit and have like pizza and whatever.
Was there a gazebo?
I don't believe that there was.
Okay, I have to go.
And because like their little brother was a boy and like me and my brother were boys, like we were kind of sitting at our own table, and then like her and her girlfriends were like sitting at the main table.
And you were like,
but like there was all these bags of chips, and so like chips at a pool is like so interesting because like they're so wet. But we were having like all
that is such a visceral
pruny hands and salty chips.
And so we were enjoying all the chips at the boys' table, and then the mom came over to like bring them over to the main party, the girls, and we like weren't wanting her to. And my cousin Danny kept singing, "These chips, they are my own. They are not yours. They are my own."
The and chips.
We thought it was the funniest thing in the world.
That is funny.
Yeah, Danny's hysterical.
Oh. Shout out.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so then after college, you're like, I'm moving to New York to make my dreams come true.
Yeah. And that was, it was not a mistake. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot there. I had a lot of wild times. Obviously, I worked at Karma Lounge. That's where I got into stand-up.
That is wild.
Did you do, so off air, you mentioned to me, the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater.
Yeah.
Did you improvise?
Yeah. So actually, I got this from a very lovely person named Jacinto. Shout out to Jacinto. He's an actor. And if you saw his face, you'd be like, I recognize his face. I don't know from where. But wait, like, he's just been acting for forever.
Yeah. But is he on TV?
Yeah. But he was,
I think I know him.
My friend's, so my cousin's friend from college, church's friend.
Oh. So we are going to do a diagram.
Put the red string together.
Exactly. Yeah.
Who agreed for some wild reason to take me out to coffee and kind of run game for me on like how to be an actor.
Wow. Because
by this point, I have been scammed so many times. Honey, there was a photographer who had me out in Brooklyn dodging cars on the street talking about he had shot Denzel Washington's daughter. And I was like, Denzel Washington's daughter? Like, oh, you must be photographer to the stars, bitch. Here go $800. Wait. Okay, you gonna make me a star tomorrow. I was going to
tomorrow. I'm gonna be Denzel Washington's daughter. I want to get these pictures.
And what was Denzel Washington's daughter? No shade to Denzel Washington's daughter. Denzel, I love you. But at the time, like, what about?
Truly.
I was like, that's close enough to Denzel.
Yeah. So,
right, closer than I've been.
You know, one time I heard that Denzel Washington was directing an episode of Grey's Anatomy and got into a huge
With Ellen Pompeo?
Blowout fight with Ellen Pompeo.
About what? Yeah.
About like,
she
I know,
was trying to like talk to him spicy and crazy.
Yeah, and she said, this is my show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Which we were all like, baby, that's Denzel.
Yeah, so she's still doing
that's
that.
My father.
Yeah. That's my father. I'm basically Denzel Washington's daughter at this point.
Oh,
so.
My God.
Wait, so, okay, so.
Okay, so Denzel's. Okay,
then I was going to the Actors Studio in New York where you get scammed by commercial casting directors
who
are currently not even casting anything, and you audition for them with fake commercial sides.
This is bringing me back.
And you pay for it, right?
Yeah.
And I remember one lady fucked me up for a while. She told me, you are like a sassy black girl. And that's really out now. Like, you don't really have to do that anymore.
Wow.
I said, bitch, I'm just being me. What the fuck? And she kind of fucked me up. I had another person who was like, you know, you really don't need to wear makeup to auditions. Like, you need to be a blank canvas so they can imagine the character on you. Just the dumbest shit ever.
Yeah.
Casting is all about walk in and look exactly like we need you to look like so we can fix the problem.
Yeah, they look. Like,
this ain't America's Next Top Model.
If you're,
just the dumbest advice you ever fucking got.
They have no imagination. If your hair is like parted wrong, they're like, you could never play the
you
role.
You just unlocked a memory for me of where I had a really bad headshot of me, but I'm wearing this like blue jacket with a collar. And this agent goes, you look really blue collar. And I was like, hey, wait. I was like, is it because I'm wearing a shirt with a blue collar? I'm like, what?
Wait, is that why you...
The dumbest people in America are working in that industry.
Yeah.
They're scamming everybody.
Yeah.
So I just had a lot of bad run-ins and I was feeling like really down. So then the 7 degrees of my cousin's friend from college and then friend from church, he took me out and he was like, so here's the 5 ways I know how to actually get into acting.
I'd love to know.
He was like, you could do stand-up. He was like, you know, you could do something like a UCB training program. There's no guarantees, obviously, to any of this, but it's less scammy than the shit I was.
Totally. Yeah.
He was like, you could go back to school. Like, you could go to, like, a Yale, a Rutgers, like, a place that's going to have a rigorous training program.
No shade. Oh, yeah. Is Rutgers very good at acting?
Yes. It's a very, it's an excellent, you know, or NYU. Like, Rutgers is an excellent acting training program. But, you know, at Berkeley, like, places like that, right? Like, and those are obviously, like, upper echelon. But, like, even the ones that are lower tier than that, like, you know, they have their showcases. They have their regional theaters, right? He was like, regional theater, you can get your acting. Your equity card, you can travel, you can do that. He just like listed a bunch of ways that you could legitimately like find people who are, you know, gonna be able to represent you and like you can get involved in it. So I started with stand-up, then I was like, oh, it's dark and nasty and all these men are alcoholics and they are mean to me. Uh-huh. And I was funny as fuck, but I was like, this just feels a little ghetto. So
where were you doing shows? Karma, job.
Karma, Gotham, Eastville, the girls.
Yeah.
It's fucking bleak.
Yeah. And then I started doing UCB and I was like, oh, this shit is like church camp. Like, this feels like, compared to what I was doing, slumming it with y'all.
Yeah.
And then I started doing that and like, you know, it was a bit of a pyramid scheme, but it was a pyramid scheme that worked for me.
Totally.
I think it's fun.
UCB is I loved it. And then I had community.
Yes. Yeah. What years were you there?
So I was there 2013, 2015.
Okay. And I was on a Lloyd team during those years.
Oh, yeah.
I was on Lloyd team, Lloyd Nate, a program that famously is a 1-year program, and then you're either moved up or off. I was on it for actually 4 consecutive years.
I probably saw you perform.
Yeah, I was on the first all-female Lloyd team Detroit. It was my first one.
I'll never forget seeing him. Improv. I was like the funniest person.
My Lloyd teams were Detroit, Witch, Camp, and Barrymore. Anyways.
Good title.
Barrymore sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I feel like I probably saw you perform.
That was when I was literally like, there was a time of my UCB career where I would literally be on the back line getting notes from our coach. And I would like, a thought would occur to me, I would literally walk off the back line in the rehearsal space, go up into like a little like pocket and just take out like Oxy out of my bag and take it. And then go back to the back line and literally think to myself like, I wonder if anyone noticed that.
Oh my God. Yeah. Wow.
I had full Lloyd team practices that I like, because I remember one Lloyd team practice, like I'm an addict, but I'm sober now. Mm-hmm. But I remember being awake for like 3 days on Adderall and taking so much Ambien to come down and then waking up like 20 minutes before my Lloyd team practice, which like they take so seriously. Like if you miss one, you like get an email from your artistic director telling you you're a bad person. And so I rushed to it. But like Ambien does this crazy thing where it's like you actually will be acting so normal and you'll be doing whatever. I did a full 3-hour improv practice, went home and then literally looked at the clock and I was like, wait, it's 5 hours later. Like hadn't created any memories since I'd woken up. So I had no memory of going to this rehearsal space, doing improv comedy in a room for 3 hours and then coming home.
And Pat, they were like, your initiations were so great.
Yeah.
That pattern game was inspired.
I can't believe you were like functioning while doing that.
Functioning is so generous.
But making art.
Creating art, So what made you say UCB is not for me eventually?
What brought you to L?
I mean, it just, the grind of New York City, it felt like everything was so hard. It's like, if I have to get up and I have to fight everybody on the sidewalk. Yeah. I remember I was...
Where did you go?
Literally, I remember like, I was working, my last job in New York was like, I went to the Hamptons, worked out there. That was insane.
Oh my God.
But like, that's how I made enough money to like move to LA. Cause the money out there was like water. I could make like $8,000 a night, like serving tables.
Yeah,
like,
well, I should have done that.
Crazy.
Wow.
I was always like, doing an interview for like Squarespace customer help.
Same.
Never getting it.
I was chasing the bag. I only worked where the richest people were like spending money at. I was like, if I at least got a college degree, bitch, I'm gonna chase these rich motherfuckers and I'll be right there like a coup de grace. Like, what wine pairing would you like with this? I learned like, if you drink too much then you need salty food. Then I learned everything. Like, I would study a wine menu. I'm like, bitch, I gotta do something.
Oh my God.
But I remember one time I was on the train, like this was probably when I was still working at Karma or one of them drug fronts I worked at. I worked at a lot of drug fronts. And that's the best money. And they treat you real nice.
Yeah.
And they don't care if you're a little late.
I didn't do my did not do my 20s right.
You did a lot.
I feel like you did them pretty right.
Yeah, no, you did a lot.
I was always so broke. I didn't have an apartment for you. I never understood like how to get my hands on money. Like I always felt like I was hustling, but I never in a good way, like whereas like knowing about Fruit de Gras and getting money for it.
I don't think I made any... I worked at a restaurant and made no money doing it.
But anyway, sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good. I mean, my mom always said you're meant to survive your 20s. And as long as you do that, then we're here. But yeah, it was just, I remember being on a train, like coming home from work, and there was this lady who was like kind of bumping me. And I thought she was just like bumping me by accident. And then I realized it was on purpose. And like all I had was like the corkscrew from work on me. And I flicked up the little baby knife.
Oh my God.
And then I remember getting off the, and I was just holding it where it was like visible.
Oh my God.
And I remember getting off the train and thinking to myself, like, Lacey, like, what were you going to do with that little baby knife? Like, we going to stab her with the little tiny baby knife? Like, what were you going to do? And I was so scared and keyed up all the time. Like, one time this man, like, you know, how, like where you're waiting on a train. If there's a train on the tracks, like, you get out of the way when people are, like, coming and you're getting off the train. Like, let them get on the train. There's no train on the tracks. This man, like, bumps into me, like, bumps fully. Like, we're face to face. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, really. Instinctually, I donkey kicked the man back down the stairs. He falls.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, fuck. So then I start running upstairs. I'm like, this bitch gonna come back and get me. I was like, I had become so aggro in New York. I had become so angry, so like I'm freezing all the time. I'm fighting everybody all the time. I'm just mad. Like, I was like, I can't live here no more. I need sun. I need vitamin D. I'm sad. I was just eating popcorn and watching Family Guy to go to sleep every night.
I
had lost so much weight. I was like, which I was like, cunty. But then I was like,
I'm always gaining. Wait, by the way, if you are on a subway and someone's, go for the eyes. If you're listening to this, go for the eyes.
Oh, interesting.
Well, if you only got a little baby knife, definitely the eyes.
You gotta go for the eyes.
Yeah.
If you're rocking the baby knife, go for the eyes, girl.
I was just gonna uncork the bitch. Like, what was I gonna do?
These hacks allow you to kill someone with a baby knife.
Oh my God.
Okay, so open you up like a Chablis, bitch. Like, what was I gonna do?
Are you into wine now?
I mean, I take it or leave it.
Yeah.
And now, how long have you been doing Scam Goddess?
4 years.
Wow.
Yeah. High school, college graduation, 4 years.
Yeah. You're a senior.
I'm a senior now.
Do you love having a pod?
I do. I actually really do. I don't do video. Sometimes we'll do video and we'll do clips.
I feel like I've seen video.
And then people will be like, where's the whole thing? And I'm like, I've never seen the whole thing, bitch.
I know.
Like, I'm kind
of
like.
We're newly doing the whole thing.
We've never done really
video. It does
video
give you an extra element of
year.
Awareness of like, how am I sitting and how is that kind
Well, that's
of
why I'm literally covered. No offense to my body. I love my body, but it feels really crazy to wear leggings and have like my full like pussy belly like this, like on camera. Like, I'm not going to sit like that. Unless you guys like it, you fucking freak.
I probably do love it.
I know. Well, I feel bad. I'm like, I'm regressing to like fifth grade awkwardness with this, but it just feels weird to not have something in front of me.
No, I have a jacket, and I have.
You know
been,
what I mean?
I have been doing this with my arm the whole time. Yeah. I'm like, is my coochie out? Because I realized I was like, oh, the slit on this
we'll
is higher
it.
Than
we'll,
I thought.
We'll pixelate everyone's genitals.
Maybe we need like a table. Something.
Well, I think it looks amazing.
Thank you.
No, you look fantastic.
You know what
I'm
saying. You get what I'm saying.
No, I do though.
Yeah. Thank you.
I have these. Like, whatever.
Okay. So then, who are you now?
Who am I now?
Hollywood star.
Nah. I'm someone who's like back into the work.
I need to get back into the work.
I had a weird few years.
I'm having a weird few years.
It's
having a weird
been
year.
Brutal out there.
Yeah.
I can't get excited about my career for some reason lately.
I resonate with that so hard.
I used to be so into and passionate about it. And lately I'm like.
I think because you got a lot of the things you wanted.
And it's not what I imagined, Olivia Rodrigo.
I literally understand that. And then you feel kind of guilty about it.
Yes.
Because I'm like, I should be so happy. And then, and you know what makes it worse? Is people around you who maybe aren't as successful.
Yeah.
The air quotes again, if you're listening to this. Like, they look at you and they're like, why aren't you happy?
I know. And also they're hustling so hard. Yeah. I'm like, I remember when I was like that. And then you feel lazy or something.
I mean, to be honest, I'm still hustling hard. And I'm like realizing now that I'm like, this shit is never going to fucking stop.
Exactly.
And that is what is upsetting about it to me. Like, recently Taraji was talking about like how she was disappointed in her reps and fired all her reps after she did Empire because she was like, where are my brand deals? Like, where is the stuff that I thought was going to happen? And like, on one hand, I followed Taraji's career forever. And like, I remember there was this Hollywood Reporter article that we did in the pandemic where we were all individually talking about how like for Black women hair and makeup and stuff like isn't guaranteed on set. Like, you could be the lead on the show, you could be like series regular, and no one will know how to do your face, your makeup. Like, you're still doing it in your trailer by yourself.
Crazy.
You'll be on a movie, you bring your own. I bring my own hair, my own makeup, everything to every set I go on to the first days, no matter what, because I can guarantee you they're not gonna know how to do it, and somebody's getting fired. Beyonce, like always.
So, crazy.
And when I read the article, because they interviewed me individually, it was me Natasha Rothwell, Gabrielle Union, and Taraji P. Henson. And I was like, now, wait a damn minute. Me, I was like, okay, I'm very early on in my career, but what? These three heavens should not be in here. Like, yeah. Man, like, not calling them heavens, but like, they're established. Yeah, like,
not calling them at first.
Like,
Gabrielle Union
Natasha
raised
Robert,
us all.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? So, like, she's been fighting. I feel like it's very, all my life I had to fight. But now that the industry has changed, I feel like we're going to be fighting all our lives. I'm like, when am I not going to have seven jobs, bro?
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's like, this is the fight now. It's
yeah.
like, I remember like seeing TV actors, like that's why it was so funny, like watching Fran Drescher talk about stuff during the early aughts of the SAG strike before I think somebody
the
pulled the nanny over.
Yeah.
Somebody brought the nanny over. Mr. Sheffield was like, nanny, come over here.
Oh my God.
Because you've been getting residuals since most of these motherfuckers been alive.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't understand the fight.
I know.
And she was like, it's not that bad out here. Bring your ass over.
Yeah.
Get your ass
yes.
over
and then she did
here.
Change
nanny
the tune.
Pulled her by her apron and was like, get your ass over. Over here, because like now it's like, baby, they find a way to trick us. I can't say too much, but now it's even roles where you'll see somebody in most of the show and they're getting paid as
I
a
know.
Recurring
yes.
instead of
it's
as a
so
series
fucked.
Regular.
What's chilling is like, when you'll go to someone's house who's on like four television shows and then you really and you're like, I'm about to see how the other half lives.
Yep.
And then you're like, oh, you're
maybe
my
like
half.
This is my couch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you want some water? I only have one.
Yeah.
No, literally.
Share. Like, I'm not playing. Like, it's hard out here.
It's really bleak.
Something about the strike really broke me because like I felt like I was hustling and had like so much going on and then like it all came to a screeching halt, and now I'm like, and it does feel slow to start back up. Like, it does feel like that to me.
Well, everything's been shut down for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, but I understood you're saying, Pat. Like, I'm very grateful, but at the same time, I'm very tired, and I feel like the burnout, like, I was like, the only way for me to cure the burnout is to just not look ahead anymore.
Yeah. You have to be in the moment.
Especially you as a gifted child, you've been going.
I'm just trying to have fun looking down at the work that I'm making and just have a good time making the thing. Like, I'm looking at the thing. I'm not looking ahead. I unfollowed every news publication, Deadline, Hollywood Reporter, all that shit.
No way.
I'm not looking at none of that. I don't give a fuck what project's coming out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a fuck who got what.
Has nothing to do with me.
Nope.
I'm like,
good for you. I'm happy for my friends. Like, I'm celebrating everyone. I get on Instagram. I'll post on my story. Occasionally, I'll post to my feed. I'm not checking likes. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm literally just looking at the work that I'm looking at. And I'm like, oh, if it goes, it goes. If it doesn't,
I have to do that.
That's all we can do.
Yeah, you just inspired me.
Yeah, because it's just been, you know, I feel like so many things I've worked on the past few years take forever, never go. I feel like so my self-esteem is so down. It's like, it has nothing to do with me. I can't control it. All we can do is like
what about this makes me happy?
Exactly.
What about this made me happy before? Why was I happier chasing this?
I know. That's what I just talked about in therapy is like there was this carrot on a string for so long and then you accidentally like get the carrot and then you're like,
I don't feel like I've gotten the carrot.
No, but then I feel like it's almost like a mountain where you're like, oh, you reached the summit, but then you're like, oh damn, it's way more mountain up there.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
The clouds are still covering my next mountain.
Yeah.
And who do you want? What's your end goal?
What's
the
your
final
dream?
Form?
The final form is to just get paid to be myself.
Like, yeah. Well, you have that with Scam Goddess.
I mean, yeah, but like, I just want to show up and be myself. Like, I want to like literally walk into a room and sit down and just be like, ta-da! Like, no planning, nothing. I want to show up and
Think
be like,
human style.
Yeah. What am I doing as me today?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
literally know nothing.
Yeah, do you write as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I want to know nothing. I want to script nothing. I want them to just be like, oh, Lacey said she's going to be here at 5. Hey, y'all. What we doing today?
And then a direct deposit hits one day later.
Literally.
I guess that's my goal. No, I want to have a TV show. I got to get moving.
You will.
I got to get moving.
You are moving.
I mean, I want those things, but I don't think that's the end goal. I think the very, very end is just popping up.
Yeah.
At whatever time suits.
Okay, should we do our ending segments?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so crush of the week. Do you have a crush of the week? It can be person, place, thing, anything.
Yeah.
Oh, crush of the week. Okay, so my crush of the week is still, this is going to sound so pretentious, but I feel like it's getting run down now. I got to go before it gets so run down.
What?
I'm on Gary.
Oh, I've never been.
Wait, what's that?
It's like the fanciest resort you can go to.
Oh, I don't know about those things.
Did you go?
You laugh because it's gonna get run down.
Where it's in? Where is it? It's in New Mexico or something?
Yeah, I think it's in Utah.
Or is okay, it, so did
is
you
it
go?
Utah or New Mexico? It's Arizona. It's Arizona.
Like Sedona.
It's. Wait, why am I forgetting? I definitely know where it is. Now we have to look it up.
Oh, it's in Utah.
They have a few.
They have one in Wyoming.
Too. Okay. So it's a really nice spa where you can get, like, great spa treatments, and they have, like, beautiful views, and, like, it's just a gorgeous place. And I've really, really wanted to go. I was even just trying to convince my friend to, like, let me throw her bachelorette party there just because I want to go.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I can just go by myself, but...
It's so, yeah.
I just saw a TikTok that was, like, all the Amangiri resorts are doing this thing where for $150,000, you can do a trip around the world at, like, all of them. Yeah. And I, in my sickness, me who doesn't own property... have anything, I was like, kind of a good deal.
Listen, it's like $5,000 a night.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And I'm just like lusting over it so bad.
You deserve it.
Oh, you gotta go.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm gonna have to go.
I'm going to Colombia for a friend's birthday party in February.
That's gonna be amazing.
And it's at a resort.
Okay. It's at a resort.
Where do you fly into?
There's some parts of Colombia. Don't be looking around too much, okay?
I know. Okay. I like, it's so unlike me to go on a trip.
Leave your $90 mesh shorts at home.
Okay. Or bring them and start having to go out looking.
Looking real robbable.
That'll be fun. My crush of the
week. When is that, by the way?
The end of Feb.
Great.
My crush of the week just so happens to be a woman called Francie who works at my gym. Just like amazing.
That's a great name.
Energy.
Yeah.
Just like always so bright and shiny. Like I see her, we girl out. Like she told me I looked like I was glowing the other day. I was like Jergens natural glow. She was like, sometimes her hair is like blown out in this really beautiful way. And she just gets it.
I wanted to tell you.
Both of our 2024 goals to get huge asses. So we've like really connected over that.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I connected with the woman at Lululemon who you connected with.
Oh, I connected with the woman at Lululemon.
I went to Lululemon with Pat in Colorado. And I look over, I'm like browsing. I look over, he's like telling her about hacks. He's like, so then for this next season, I'm like, he's best friends with this girl.
Me and like retail cashiers. I told you about the woman at APC, right?
No.
Literally, this woman is like, I go to APC on Sunset when I need to feel like connected to my humor. Because, like, the first time I went, I always say APC is you go in.
Wait, what is the APC?
APC is, like,
it's
a
like an overpriced basic.
It's overpriced basics. And, like, you...
And I don't think it would fit me. No offense to it or me.
You go
in... Is it,
in,
like, workout clothes?
No.
No, it's like jeans. It's, like...
These jeans
are... Oh, you mean, like, basics, like, basics.
Yeah, it's, yeah, like, it's okay. Like, fancy Everlane.
But I wouldn't... Oh, okay. But there'll be some, like, what I would call
there's
pieces.
There's some fast fashion pieces,
yeah.
Sure.
So, and it is pricey. I'll go in, there'll be like...
It's like $400 for like jeans.
There's always a rack. There's five. Tell me if I've done this bit on the pod because I keep saying this. There's always five. They have like five things. One of them is like... Two of them are like prohibitively expensive. One of them is like interesting, but no human being would ever wear it. Mm-hmm. One of them is a polo that is fine. And one of them is a t-shirt that for no reason is $130.
Okay.
So then I get one of those things. But I was doing it, and the woman at the cash register was on her iPad, and she was like, have you shopped here before? And I was like, yeah. And she was asking my email, and it like kind of populated on the screen, and she was like, is this you? And I say, that's me in a nutshell. She laughed her ass off for 25 minutes. Did I tell the whole podcast that?
Oh.
You keep
it. I never heard it.
Keep it.
And Lacey loved it. Like, how hard she's laughing.
I want it to be kept in, and I want to say it.
She goes,
But okay. cash register girls. Yeah. Retail space is always like my humor.
My crush of the week is everyone's been telling me to go for years. They go, it's so good, it's so good, it's so good. The Culture Yogurt place on West 8th. If you know, you know. It's across from my massage place. We're new. Culture Yogurt. It reminds me of something I had in high school, but it's like, it's basically like frozen yogurt, but like fancy Greek tart.
Yeah.
Anyways, they don't fuck around because. First of all, it tastes so, so, so good. And what they do is when you get toppings, frozen strawberries and chocolate chips, you got to. I ordered a delivery.
Yeah.
I was so sad when I finished the toppings on the top. I scoop in. They put toppings on the bottom.
Oh, wow. Oh, interesting.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Bottomings.
They bottomed. Wow. Culture Yogurt bottomed for me. That's my crush.
I never even thought about that.
Yeah, it changes everything.
Because why don't why don't they let you do that anywhere?
They should do it.
Yeah.
Because it's not over. I was like, it's never over.
Just because it's over doesn't mean it's
really over. That song is so good, by the way.
I actually don't connect with that.
I love it. It was right when Brian and I were getting back together. Anyways, let me tell you this. Do you guys feel hot today?
I don't, but I should based on how I've been being, but I don't.
Cool. Do you feel hot today?
Extremely.
You look gorgeous.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Gorgeous.
I've been doing great.
Really?
Working out. My skin's getting great. I work out at...
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah. Did I do that?
I really love it. I love hitting shit. It's like such a physical
release.
You just
like wrap your hands up and
I do. That's the most annoying part because I'm not really good at it. I'm not consistent. It's the thing I hate the most about it. And if I'm running late, then I'm like
it's
wrapping
them
in the car.
Yeah.
And they look like shit and I don't care.
Yeah.
And then because I'm shoving them in gloves or whatever. But I've like, I know that it is fat phobic to talk about weight or whatever, but I'm like a type of person that I like whatever weight you're happy with is weight you're happy with. So the weight that I like to be happy with, I'm getting to.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's more about like the body shape that I was like, yes, like totally. Now, you know, now my collarbones are collaboning how I like
your collarbone.
That's me with
you know
my
what
ass
I mean?
Right now.
My it's
ass
like
looks
my thighs
right
are getting back to the thigh meat that I like the calf to look like. But I like, most of all, it's just like the stress relief. I like to hit shit. And also, my face care routine is popping now. First of all, I was doing too much. The bitches are trying to trick us.
Yeah.
100%.
They're trying to trick us.
That's what my mom says every day.
I had like a non-care face care routine, and my skin was getting worse.
Yeah.
Because it was like, okay, you gotta do the toner, and then you gotta do we got this spray with the Manuka honey, and then, okay, you alternate between doing the retinol, or you're doing this other kind of thing, serum, and then you got the hyaluronic acid, but don't, hold on, baby girl, we're not done.
Yeah.
You gotta do, like, this serum, and this, I was like, this is too much.
It's too,
and
well,
my
who has
skin
the time?
Started to get bumpy and stuff, and so I've just, like, brought it down, but I did get one of those LED light machines.
Oh, does that help?
And it does the neck. I just started it, but I've already noticed that my lips aren't peeling as much.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's supposed to like brighten dark spots, and I have the blue light setting too that's supposed to like help with acne.
Oh, interesting. I've always had like clear skin, but like lately I'm kind of like, can it glow more?
No, you're just wanting to spend money on something.
Yeah.
I had that same thing.
Yeah, I had it too. And now I realize I have all these facial products. And I'm like, I never needed this. Like, girl, you are black. What are you doing?
Cleanse, sunscreen.
Sunscreen.
Do you feel hot?
No, because I just got in last night. And when flying to LA, I got in late and I had to do the rental car. And I haven't washed my hair. That flight just feels so long.
Yeah.
Your
no
skin
matter
looks
what.
Great. Your skin is not giving plain.
Thank you. It's more that like I'm acidy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Just from the plane.
I had a plane. I had a food on the plane. And it makes me so acid. Anyways, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
What's our last thing?
Are you mad at me?
Oh, my God. Are you mad at me?
Just a check in case tensions are
high.
Are you mad at us?
No.
Okay.
I'm like in love with you guys.
Oh, my God.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, anytime.
You're
so
special.
Welcome to our home.
Thank you.
You brought the best energy. Thank God.
Are you mad at me?
Not at all. Are you mad at me?
No.
Great.
Okay, great. Well, thank you all for listening
so
and watching.
Much.
Check out Scam Goddess. Anything else, Lacey, you want to plug?
Not right now, I don't think.
Amazing.
Yeah,
make sure to check out that massage beef porn. We're going to link in the episode
notes. Of course,
notes.
No-Tell Motel, where there's a guy in the crawl space.
There is a guy. And if you are the guy in that wall, shout out. We want to talk to you. Thank you so much for listening. HeadGum.
Hey, bitch. Seek Treatment is a production of HeadGum Studios. Our associate producer is Ali Khan. Our producer is Tevi Kaunitz. Our executive producer is Emma Foley. The show is edited, mixed, and mastered by Rochelle Chen. The show art is created by Carly Jean Andrews.
Subscribe and check out new episodes on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Love.
Love.
If you just can't take a hit, we'll seek treatment. With Kat and Pat.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.